They discovered a diamond, one of the largest diamonds that had been discovered in the last century. In fact, it was 1,111 carats big. It looked to me about the size of a golf ball, maybe the size of a tennis ball. Do you realize how much that diamond is worth? Let me give you an idea. The latest figures of a 341-carat diamond was worth, are you ready for this? $20 million. And that's only 341 carats. This latest diamond discovered in Africa was 1,111 carats big. Imagine how much that diamond is worth. 80 million? 100 million? I don't know. But I want to ask you a question. How much are you worth to God? I said, how much are you worth to God? How much am I worth to God? You want me to tell you how much you're worth to God? Jesus stretched out his hands like this and said, I love you this much. That's how much you're worth to God. He stretched out his hands like this and said, I love you this much. I want to tell you how much you're worth to God today. You're worth, and I'm worth to the Lord, more than an $80 million diamond. In fact, I'm worth this much, and you're worth this much, that Jesus died to pay a debt he did not owe, a price I couldn't pay, a price you couldn't pay. Oh, yes, that's how much the Lord loves you. Can I tell you, speaking of worth, last week I went and got for the first time in 10 years a flu shot. How many of you had a flu shot? Let me see your hand. All right. I hadn't had one in 10 years, but my wife, Deanna, just kept after me. Honey, you need to go get a flu shot. So I just went ahead and got a flu shot. But think about what a flu shot is. Isn't it amazing? Do you know what a flu shot is? They put the virus, the strain, into your body, and then somehow or another, I don't understand it all, but somehow or another, your body builds up an immunity, some antibodies to fight off that infection. Perchance you get the flu. You know what? A man came up to me 2 weeks ago tomorrow. I was preaching down at Glenville, Georgia, at a church called Calvary Baptist Church. And a man came up to me and he said, Preacher, I had preached on Monday night. He said, why don't you preachers preach more about overcoming sin? And I looked at him and I said, well, bless God, I do believe we don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. And you know what the Lord spoke to my heart about? The Lord spoke to my heart about, just like a flu shot builds up an immunity to fight off a deadly disease, thanks be to God, when you get saved by the blood of the Lamb, God gives us an inoculated power of His Holy Spirit and the power of the blood of the Lamb and the power of prayer and the precious living Word of God. We don't have to be a slave to sin anymore. We don't have to yield to sin anymore. I'm telling you, hallelujah, when the Son sets you free indeed. That is glorious. And speaking of husbands and wives, I heard about one husband and wife. They were sitting together on this particular bench, and they were having a little disagreement. And the wife said to her husband, said, you're impossible. You're impossible. He looked at her and said, no, but I'm sitting next to impossible. I mean, that wasn't good. But anyway, hey, look, here's the deal. Have you discovered, have you understood, have you fulfilled your destiny? I want to preach on a little while on this Thanksgiving Sunday prior to Thanksgiving on the subject of fulfilling your destiny. Fulfilling your destiny. Let's say it together. Fulfilling your destiny. One more time. I can't hear you in the back. Say it with me. Fulfilling your destiny. Why do I ask you to say things with me? To keep you engaged, to keep you alert, to keep your mind from wandering on other things. That's why. There's a reason. Not only that, but the Word of God has life-changing power. But I want you to know, beloved, as we look at this subject today, there are three life-changing discoveries that will lead you and me into fulfilling your destiny and my destiny. And here they are found in the Word of God. Take your Bibles, turn with me please to the book of Judges, chapter 3. Judges, chapter 3. It's in the Old Testament, if you're wondering. In the book of Judges, chapter 3. Here is a text that I have been led by the Lord to come back to today, this wonderful, glorious Thanksgiving service as we celebrate prior to Thanksgiving in the book of Judges, chapter 3. If you got your Bibles, you'd like to stand with me as I read, but wait a minute, you don't have to stand quite yet. You can sit down. Let me tell you a little background, and then we're going to go right into the text, and you can stand up if you like to. Remember the book of Judges. There's one key word that summarizes the whole book of Judges. What is it? Cycles, up and down, up and down. That's exactly what the people of God were doing. Can y'all hear me in the back there, Terry? I'm glad this friend of ours, Terry Barnes, I talked with him on the phone the other day. Wave your hand, Terry. Let's welcome Terry. Come on. Glad to have you. I just want to make sure you can hear. I can't hear up here, but anyway, that's all right, as long as you can hear back in the back. Hey, I was saying the book of Judges, what's the key word? What's the key word? Y'all missed it already. You got distracted. The key word is cycles. Why? Because the people of God fell into sin. God raised up a judge, brought them out of sin, and thus it was a continuous cycle over and over again. Remember, the book of Joshua, God led the children of Israel across where? What was the name of that river? All right, Jordan River. Say it with me. Jordan River. And thus they were told to drive out the inhabitants of the land, that is Joshua and his armies, but they didn't do it, did they? And what happened? They became a thorn in their side. God said, if you don't drive them all out, they're going to be a thorn in your side. How many know that if you leave sin in your life, it'll be a thorn in your side? I'm telling you, you can't play with sin. You can't pet sin. It's not your friend. I'll tell you about a story in a moment about a young man that called me this week, and I want to tell you, he told me to tell you this story, how sin will take you further than you're willing to go, cost you more than you're willing to pay, and keep you longer than you're willing to stay. I mean, your sin will find you out. What a man sows, that's what he also reaps. But wait a minute, going back to the book of Judges. So Joshua, and remember, Joshua comes before the book of Judges, and they didn't drive out the inhabitants of the land, and what happened? They fell in sin. Am I preaching about America right now? Somebody say amen. We're in a cycle right now. How many believe that? We're in a cycle right now. We need God to raise up somebody to get us out of this mess. We're in a mess. We're in a mess. Oh, yes, we do. Yes, we are. I'm telling you, we are in a mess. I think I may have to use this one right here. Is this one on right here? Can you turn this one on, Katie, right here? There we go, there we go, there we go. Some reason or another, I see people wandering with their eyes, and I must not be loud enough back in the back. You know, pastor can get loud. Somebody say amen. But anyway, we're looking at the book of Judges. Now we're in chapter 3. God has raised up several judges to deliver the people of God out of their sin. And now we come to chapter 3. If you've got it, say amen and stand to your feet. There's only one verse of the scripture today, just one. We're not reading a whole chapter today. There's one, and here's the message, fulfilling your destiny. Look at chapter 3, and we begin in verse 31. In chapter 3, verse 31, if you're there, say amen. And after him was Shamgar. Let's say that name together. Shamgar. Say it again. One more time. Have you heard about this man? Do you know about this man? Probably very few of us have heard about this man or have ever studied this man. In fact, there's not a lot talked about this man. In chapter 5, there's some mention about the times in which he was living in chapter 5. And verse 6, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways, and the inhabitants of the villages ceased, and they ceased to in Israel. But wait a minute, go back to verse 31. There's not a lot known about this man named Shamgar, but I want to draw your attention to verse 31, chapter 3. And after him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men. with an ox goad. Imagine, what in the world is an ox goad? And he delivered Israel. This is the word of the Lord. May God bless it to our heart today as we listen to the word of God. And I'm absolutely, positively convinced God is going to speak to your heart today. God is going to encourage many of you today. Some of you today are going to need to respond to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and say, Lord, I know you've got a word for me. Go ahead and say, Lord, I know I've come today because you've got a word for me today. And I believe you indeed will receive. Let's bow for prayer and ask God to bless our time together. Father, thank you for your great love. Thank you for your precious blood. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we come confessing our sins of omission and commission. Lord, we confess in our flesh dwells no good thing, but we thank you. You said it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And we need you today. I do, Father, like never before. Lord, if anything's going to be done this day, we pray, Father God, that you be high and lifted up and that you are to go forth and have free course in every heart. Keep us from distraction. Keep us, Father, from our minds wandering. Stir our hearts, Lord. Give us a fallow ground to receive the incorruptible and indestructible seed that's forever settled in heaven. I thank you for every man, every woman, every boy and girl that's here today. And we ask you to change us and, Lord, just be glorified in everything said and done. I love you, Lord Jesus, and praise you for your love and praise you for all that you do and what you've done and what you're going to do. Oh, God, give us heaven's vision. Give us, dear God, the mighty Holy Ghost faith in you and trust in you and deliver us from ourselves. And we thank you now for victory in Jesus. We just ask you now to, Lord, be the center focus of our lives. Change lives. Save the lost, Father. Those that are here today that are playing church that have never been born again, I pray today, dear God, you'll open up their eyes to see their great need for forgiveness of their sins and for preparation to exit out of this life into the life to come. And we give you thanksgiving, Father, because you alone are worthy. We love you and bless you now. And thank you, Jesus, again for all that you do in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Here's where we're going with this. Here's where we're going with this. There are three life-changing discoveries. Are you ready for this? There are three life-changing discoveries God put in my heart to give to you today that no doubt will lead you and me into fulfilling our destiny, or if you like, reaching our destiny. How many believe that you're here today and you're here on earth not to just occupy space? No, rather, we're here today to bring glory to God. I'm convinced today some of you may be wondering, well, I've just been spinning my wheels. I've just been occupying space. Well, if you get in the will of God and you get in the word of God and you get right with God, God will show you exactly what he wants you to do and how he wants to do it, all for his glory. And the church said, well, let's go three places. Are you ready? Three discoveries that you and I must make today that will absolutely lead you into fulfilling your destiny. How many believe that you're not here just to make $1 million, all right? It's all right to make money, but do it for the glory of God. We're not here just to build houses and lands and go to work and come home. Rather, we're here to serve the Lord. That's what the Bible teaches. Number one, here is the first life-changing discovery, and it's in question form. Number one, will you thank God for who you are? Will you thank God for who you are? Shamgar was who he was. Number two, the second, it's not the profound by any means, but number two, will you not only thank God for who you are, but wait a minute, will you thank God for what you have? Will you thank God for what you have? I said, will you thank God for what you have? Shamgar didn't have much, but what he had, he used. Will you use what you got for the glory of God? Number three, in chapter 3, verse 31, Number three, will you thank God for His God-given destiny for you? Will you thank God for His God-given destiny for you? How many believe we're not home yet, all right? Look at your neighbor and say, you're not home yet, neighbor. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, God's got a plan for you and God's got a purpose for you, and we're not here by happen chance. We're here by divine appointment. We're here to bring glory and honor to our risen Savior. Amen and amen and amen. Number one. Will you thank God for who you are? I want to draw your attention back to verse 31 again. Look at it one more time. And after him was Shamgar. Say that name with me. Shamgar. One more time. Shamgar. The son of Anath. Number one, will you thank God for who you are? Shamgar wasn't much. We don't know much about Shamgar, but he was who he was. How many of you are thanking God you are who you are? You can't be somebody else. Young folks, look up here for a moment. It's all right to have role models if they're good role models, but you can't be like them. You are who you are. God has made you like he wants you to be. Therefore, have you thanked God for who you are? Probably some of us here would say, you know, I really don't thank the Lord that I am who I am. I'd rather be somebody else, and I'm too short, and I'm too tall, or my nose is too long, or my ear's too big, or whatever the case may be. Have you thanked God that you are who you are? How many believe, listen, how many believe that God takes ordinary men and does extraordinary things? He does. And you ought to thank God right now. And I want to praise the Lord right now and say, Lord, thank you. You take ordinary men and ordinary women and do extraordinary things. I came to tell you today, we serve a God who is the God who can make the impossible possible, because with God all things are possible. Oh, I came to tell you today, we got a God who can move the mountains. Jesus said, if you just got little bitty old mustard seed faith, you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast in the depths of the sea. I'm telling you, I serve a God. I don't know how big your God is, but I serve a God, and we serve a God who can walk on the water, who can calm the storm, who can raise the dead, who can heal the leper. We serve a God who's ruling and reigning in heaven. I'm telling you, my God's a great God, and he's worthy to be praised. Oh, yes. Have you thanked God for who you are? Two questions. Number one, have you thanked God for whose you are? Whose you are? You say, Pastor, what do you mean? I don't know about you, but the last time I got in this book right here, you know what this book told me? This book said right here that those who trusted Jesus Christ and the precious blood that is shed on the cross, this book right here says, hey, listen, I'm a child of God. Out of my innermost being flows rivers of living water. The truth has set me free. I'm in him and he's in me. This book right here tells me my sins are cast as far as the east is from the west. The book right here says they're put in the depths of the sea. That is, God remembers my sin no more. Oh, yeah, the people might remember my sin, and the devil might try to remind me of my sins, but God said, I don't remember your sin anymore. I'm telling you, this book right here tells me, hallelujah, that God has prepared a place for me in heaven. I don't know about your God. I don't know the last time you dove in this blessed book right here and saw that now we are justified before a thrice holy God. God takes the unrighteousness that we had in Adam and outside of the Lord Jesus, and he clothes us with his righteousness, and he pronounces us innocent before his throne, and he proves our innocency as he lives in us and he lives through us. I'm telling you, I came today to say thank you, Jesus, for who I am in you. I want to thank you, Lord, that you saved me by your marvelous grace. I want to thank you, Lord, you've been good to me, that you daily load me with benefits. And Lord, I want to thank you and praise you today. You prepared a place for me in heaven, a place where the soul never dies, and and where the builder and maker is God. I'm thankful to God today. I want to bless the Lord today. I want to praise Jesus today. One day I've got a home in heaven, a mansion built in glory where there's no more sin and no more sickness and no more death. I'm telling you, child of God, we ought to enter in the house of God today with thanksgiving on our lips. Yes, God's been good. Yes, God's been good to me. And I thank Him so much for calling me unworthy to preach the gospel, to tell the good news. I'm tired of the bad news. Somebody tell me Jesus saves. Somebody point me to the cross. Somebody tell me that my Redeemer lives. Oh, I know He lives. We live in a chaotic and confused and a world full of stress and strife and anxiety. But my Redeemer lives. I want to thank God today. He's still on His throne. He still has the keys to death and hell. One day He's coming. Oh, glorious day. I just want to get on the record and say, Lord, You are worthy to be praised today. Well, whose are you? Shamgar was who he was. Have you thanked God for who you are today? I said, have you thanked God for who you are today? Oh, yes. And just get a little glimpse of His glory. And then, by the way, because of whose you are and I am, you know what we ought to do? I said, you know what we ought to do? Shamgar, he was who he was. You and I are who we are. Would you thank God for who you are? Hey, listen, I'm so thankful to God. Listen, I say this in the good sense. I don't use this word very much because of its negative connotation. At any rate, I'm going to use it right now. I'm so proud of New Rocky Creek Baptist Church. Our blessed people came on Tuesday night. They had been down there in an old school board meeting. And praise God, I got the paper, the Monticello Constitution Journal, all right. We're talking about a major journal paper here that circulates all across Jasper County. I was so thankful to God when I read in there that our people stood up and our people spoke up and our people said, we're not going to back up. We're not going to let up, hallelujah, because one day we're going to be caught up. Aren't you glad that we've got some blood-bought, blood-washed children of God that'll say enough is enough, devil, and we're not going to let you come and take the ground. We believe in Jesus, and we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Somebody ought to praise the Lord. But wait a minute. I got a word for you. The Lord showed me after I saw that and rejoiced in the Lord. Our men came back from the meeting on Tuesday night and shared I was at the hospital and got back. But anyway, here's what the Lord showed me. It's good to stand up. It's good to speak up in the light of all the anti-Christianity that's going on in our nation and in our world. It's good to stand up and speak up, not back up, not let up until one day we're caught up. But wait a minute. We got to live it up too. Now that we've taken a stand, now that we've let the world know I'm a blood-bought, blood-washed child of God, they're going to be looking at you, and they're going to be looking at you, and they're going to be scrutinizing you now, those of us who name the name of Jesus. And what we say doesn't line up with what we live. The devil's crowd is going to be throwing rocks at us, and the devil's crowd is going to be nitpicking and fault-finding. How many know what I'm talking about? We've got to live it up. There is the gospel of Matthew. There is the gospel of Mark. There is the gospel of Luke. And there is the gospel of John. And guess what? There's the gospel according to you. 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 People are reading you and me like a book. Some people have never read this blessed book right here, and the only thing they know about Jesus is what they see in your life and my life. How's that make you feel? It makes me want to get to an old-fashioned altar and say, oh, God, clean me up, fill me up. Otherwise, I'll be a major stumbling block. Listen, it's good to stand up. It's good to speak up. It's good not to back up. But we've got to live it up. One of the tragedies of our modern day is people of us who name the name of Jesus and go out in the community and live like a devil or live like hell. That's a bad testimony to the Word of God and to the things of God. Somebody say amen. And all of us, if we're not careful, we're one step away from falling into the devil's den. Thus, we're not exempt. That's why I need to get to an old-fashioned altar. That's why I can't depend on myself. Oh, no. Will you thank God for who you are? Will you thank God for whose you are? And then, can I tell you what Thanksgiving is to me? Thanksgiving is not only thanksgiving, Thanksgiving is being forgiven. Have y'all gotten over been forgiven? Oh, no, don't forget over. Don't get over. Don't get over. We're all sinners. Don't get over it. But none righteous, not one. Don't get over the fact that God snatched you and me out of a devil's hell, brought us into his marvelous light, washed us clean by his blood, made us joint heirs with Christ. Now we're bone of his bone. I'm about to start preaching. And flesh of his flesh. Oh, I thank God I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I want to be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. Yes, Lord. It's all because of his grace. Not only is Thanksgiving being forgiven. Wait a minute. Thanksgiving is forgiving. Did you catch that? Thanksgiving is not only being forgiven. Thanksgiving is forgiving. I said Thanksgiving is forgiving. That means you and I, by the grace of God, need to learn how to forgive. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Can I tell y'all something happened to me recently? I was walking down the road. I like to walk sometimes and get some fresh air. And I was walking down the road not far from our home. And about that time, a dog came running out in the road, a Boston Terrier. How many know what a Boston Terrier is? Came running out in the road and started barking and snapping and growling right at my feet. I looked at the Boston Terrier and the dog got closer and closer and I was walking. I was in the road. I was not on their yard. I was in the road. Hello, the pavement. And the dog keeps barking and barking and I'm looking at the dog and finally the dog stopped barking. I walked by. It was a little bit later, a few days later, about a week or so later, I walked by the house, and here comes that dog running out in the yard, barking at my heels. I'm looking at that dog, and the dog's getting closer and closer to my heels, and I reached out my leg to give him a swift kick. How many know what I'm talking about? Just to get him off of me, but I didn't kick him. I just act like I was, and the dog kept barking. How many know that's a nuisance? How many like to get bit by a dog? Did you hear about the man that walked in the fence one time? He said, "Well, you're to the man, there was a dog barking at him, growling at him. He said, "Will your dog bite?" And the man said, "No, my dog won't bite." By that time, the dog bit the man. He said, "I thought you told me your dog won't bite." The man said, "That's not my dog, all right?" Anyway, I'm walking down the road. I'm walking down the road, and here comes that little dog again, that little Boston Terrier. This happened day after day after day. I said, day after day after day. How many know the pastor got tired of it? How many know I was getting in the flesh? I was thinking some thoughts in my mind. Like, I wondered if I could get some of that spray. Then I thought, maybe I'll just pick up a stick. Then I thought, I've got a rock. But I want to tell you what occurred. I'm walking down the road. Here comes that Boston Terrier, barking right on my heels. And all of a sudden, the thought occurred to me, why don't you pet that dog? And so I said, come here. And that little old Boston Terrier put his little ears back, put his little tail back, and started wagging that little nubby tail. I patted that dog on the head and said, it's okay. It's okay. It's all right. And then that little dog ran to the yard. Guess what? That dog never chased me again. And here's what the Lord showed me about that. How many know that people can growl at you? How many know that people can bark at you?
How many know people want to bite you? This is what the Lord showed me. And so rather, watch, rather than get the maze and rather than wait, rather than return evil for evil, Paul wrote in Romans 12 and said, return good for evil, in so doing you pour heaping coals of fire on their head. And the Lord showed me, instead of being ugly to people, why don't we pray for them? Why don't we bless them? Why don't we, those that we're able to bless? Oh yes, Jesus said, love your enemies. Oh, I can't do that, Lord, without your power. Thanksgiving is being forgiven. Thanksgiving is forgiven. Is there anybody here today that you need to forgive somebody today? They've been ugly with you. They've been growling at you. They've been right about to bark and bite you. But today, rather than have that bitter spirit in your heart, you can forgive today, because Thanksgiving is not only being forgiven, but forgiven, and the church said. Number two, there's a second life-changing discovery that will lead us into fulfilling your destiny. This is what the Lord showed me. I want you to zero in on the text one more time. Judges chapter 3, verse 31. Oh, this is good stuff. Number one, will you thank God for who you are? Number two, will you thank God for what you have? Look at verse 31 again. After him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew the Philistines. He slew the Philistines. How many? 600 men. What in the world did Shamgar slay these Philistines with? He slew them with a ox goad. What in the world? This must have been a nuclear bomb to kill 600. What in the world did Shamgar have? An ox goad. I don't know exactly what an ox goad is. But it probably looked something like this. It was a long stick, 6 feet or longer, and had a sharp point on the end. We were in the Philippines in 1993, and I saw them using, don't worry, I'm not going to poke at you, all right? Anyway, we saw these farmers with these oxen. That oxen would get out of line. They'd poke them with it. They'd poke them with that ox goad. Had a sharp end. I just put a nail on this one, but anyway. And they'd poke them and get them back in line. Those ox would get out of line, and they'd poke at them and get them back in line. Shamgar. Wait a minute. Shamgar didn't have bow and arrows. He didn't have swords and spears. He had what he had, and he used what he had to use. Will you thank God for what you have? You might not have the money of Rockefeller or the money of Warren Buffett, or you might not be rich like Donald Trump, but use what you got. Do what you got. Use what you got. By the way, did you hear about that man that was sitting by the roadside and he was crying? Somebody came up to him and said, what's wrong with you? He said, didn't you hear Rockefeller died? And they said, well, I'm sorry that Rockefeller died. Were you next to kin? He said, no, that's why I'm crying. Anyway, use what you got. Use what you got. I'm looking at Shamgar. I don't know how he did that. I don't know how he... 1, down, 2, down, 3, 10, 20, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 100, 200, 300, 400, 500, 600. He killed 600 Philistines with an ox goad. How did he do it? Oh, listen, beloved. All it takes is a little sling with God, and David can kill a giant. All it takes is some needle and thread, and a woman named Dorcas can make clothing to clothe a number of people. All it takes is a little boy with 5 loaves of bread, and God can multiply it to feed 5,000, and besides women and children, 1 plus God is a majority. Use what you got. Don't worry about what you don't have. Will you thank God for what you have? Will you thank God for what you have? Oh, we'd have an old-fashioned revival in this house today if we just start thanking God for what we've got. instead of wishing, I wish I had this, and I wish this had this, and there's nothing wrong with saying God's will concerning as God blesses you, but the covetousness part and the greed part, God help us. Will you use what you got? Will you thank God for what you got? How many today are thankful for the health you got? Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, I thank God for my health. Oh, you better thank God for your health. You better thank God for your health. It might not be there tomorrow. I just mentioned to you about Brother Walter's cousin, Don Hetherington, 4 weeks ago, 5, 6 weeks ago, no problems. And all of a sudden, he finds out his back starts hurting and goes to the chiropractor and one thing after another, and then discovers he's got stage 4 cancer all over his body. We went to visit him 2 weeks ago as he was in his hospital bed, and he could hardly get up out of the bed. He was in pain all the time. And yet, God in mercy took him on. I believe it was on Wednesday, I think it was, of last week. But this is what God showed me. We take things for granted. How many are thankful for your health today? How many are thankful for your family today? How many are thankful for Jesus today? How many are thankful for your church family today? How many are thankful for the food in your refrigerator today? How many are thankful you've got on shoes today and clothes on your back? How many are thankful for your job today? How many are thankful for Jesus today? We've got a lot to be thankful for. Yes, the psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. Let's say that together. I will bless the Lord at all times. One more time. I will bless the Lord at all times. You can make a choice to rejoice, or you can choose to lose. Are you going to rejoice in the Lord? Are you going to praise God anyway? When you don't feel like it, praise God. When you're on the mountain, praise God. When you're in the valley, praise God. When you're in a storm, praise God. When the sun is shining, praise God. In good times, in bad times, the Lord inhabits the praises of his people, and praise God. We could just break out of our prison and start blessing God for not what we don't have, but what we do have. And somebody today ought to say, God has been good to me. God has been good to me. I'll tell you what, Melissa will trade places with you. Melissa's fixing to have hip surgery December the 11th, I think it is. And she'll pray places with you. She'll trade places with you for your legs if you want to have her hips. She'll trade places with you, right, Melissa? You'll trade places with anybody in here. Hey, we got a lot to be thankful for. God's been good to us. By the way, I know that we're losing freedoms. I understand that. I'm not blind to that fact. But I want you to remember something, beloved. They might take Jesus and kick him out of the White House. They might kick Jesus out of the courthouse. They might attempt to kick Jesus out of the schoolhouse. But they can't kick Jesus out of my heart. I said they can't get him out of my heart. Woo! They can't get him out of my heart. And praise God, if you got Jesus living in your life, you got something to praise the Lord for. Amen and amen and amen. The Bible says, in everything, give thanks. Let's say that together. In everything, give thanks. One more time. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It doesn't tell us that all things are good, but it says all things, Romans 8 and 28. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:18, by the way. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. But Romans 8, 28, Paul wrote and said, we know that all things work together for the good. He didn't say all things are good, but he said it works together for the good to them that love the Lord and to them that are called according to his purpose. Will you use what you have? Will you thank God not only for who you are, but what you have? Did y'all hear about that lumberjack? He bought him a brand spanking new chainsaw, guaranteed to cut down 100 trees a day. Chainsaw. He went out there. First day he cut down 25. Next day he cut down 35. Next day he cut down 45. Next day, he cut down 50. The next day, 45. The next day, 35. The next day, 20. He said, this thing is not working like it ought to work. He took it back to the shop, to the store owner. He said, man, this chainsaw was guaranteed to cut down 100 trees in one day. What's the problem? I've got a problem with this. The man said, let me see it. He put it down on the ground. He went, whoa, cranked it up. The lumberjack said, what's that noise? Use what you have, all right? I got a feeling sometimes we're trying to operate in the flesh rather than operate in the spirit. Oh, yes, there's a third point, and I'm coming home here. I'm coming home. Hold on. We're coming home. We're going to land the plane. We're coming down. Number one, will you thank God for who you are? Number two, will you thank God for what you have? Number three, will you thank God for your God-given destiny, fulfilling your destiny? Look at chapter 3, verse 31 again. And after this was Shamgar, the son of Anath, which slew of the Philistines 600 men with an ox goad. In the last part of that verse, he also delivered Israel. Really? Yep. He delivered Israel. He fulfilled his purpose. That's what God set him to do. Are you fulfilling your purpose? Are you making a difference in other people's lives? Are you pouring into other people? Are you actively seeking God's will and praying for his anointing and influence in your life? Wait a minute. Shamgar fulfilled his destiny. I told you earlier, I got a call this week. I wish I didn't have to tell you this, but I got to tell you this. A man called me this week. He said, Pastor, would you share this? I said, I will. He said, I have not talked with him in 5 years. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not being legalistic about this, but as I said last week, those of you that were here last week, you heard us talk about the importance of church and fellowship with the body of Christ, the accountability, the encouragement, et cetera, et cetera. This man, he got out of church, he and his family, and I hadn't seen him in years. He called me up out of the blue last week. And I talked with him for a solid hour. Rather, he told me one problem after another problem after another problem after another. For one solid hour, he talked and told me. He said, Pastor, it's like a domino effect. You get out of the will of God. You get out of the will of God, and then next thing you know, you make a bad decision. You don't not listen to the Holy Spirit anymore. You start yielding to the flesh. He said, I know I'm saved, but I've been backslidden. I've gotten out of the will of God. I've not been listening to the Holy Spirit. I've not been under the preaching of the Word of God. I've not been reading my Bible. And he told me one mess after another mess. I'm not even going to tell you what all he told me. His life is in shambles. His family's in shambles. His mental state is absolutely to the point that I can't even tell you about it. But I told him, I said, well, I'll tell him, because his message to you and to me is this: you better stay right with God. The devil is mean and ugly, and the devil don't care who you are. And he said further, he said, what a man sows, that's what he reaps. And how many know that, thank God, though we're forgiven when we mess up, sometimes there's a consequences to sin. And sometimes we want all the consequences erased. That don't work that way. I'm fixing to tell you something. It's worth writing down. Small compromises lead to big consequences. Small compromises lead to big consequences. I tried to encourage the brother. I tried to tell him I loved him and Jesus loved him, but I can't fix the mess. When you mess up and when you get out of God's will and you take your eyes off Jesus and things begin to happen, God can, but often God won't immediately fix the mess. It's layers after layers after layers after layers. And thus, sometimes, we serve a God of a second chance, but don't give up, brother. Don't give up, sister. I'll close with this, and I'm done. Fulfilling your destiny. Will you thank God for who you are? Will you thank God for what you have? Thirdly, will you thank God for your God-given destiny? Will you fulfill that God-given destiny? The story says there was a farm that had some chickens. And a mama chicken had some baby chicks. How many know what I'm talking about? Baby chicks. However, there was one baby bird that did not look like the other birds. This bird was bigger. This bird had streamlined feathers. This bird had larger claws. This bird had a more distinct beak. The bird didn't look like the little chicks that the mama chicken had accumulated. But one day, this bigger bird that didn't look like those little chickens, one day was looking up in the air, and some eagles flying high in the sky flew over, and that bird that did not look like those chickens looked down at his feathers and began to flap his wings and thought, I'm meant to fly in the sky, and began to flap its wings. And the next thing you know, off the ground went that bird. And then the next thing you know, that bird is flying up in the sky just like those eagles. Why? Because it was an eagle. It wasn't a chicken. It wasn't meant to eat peck off the ground. Bird feed. The eagle was meant to fly high in the sky. Child of God, look up here. You and I weren't meant to live in the hog pen. We were meant to sit at the Father's table. We were meant to be overcomers. We were meant to live above the world, the flesh, and the devil. We were meant to be overcomers and conquerors in Jesus Christ. And so I'm glad to tell you today, as a child of God, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Are you overcoming? Let's stand together. Can you?